are just a little bit better than you, own a little bit nicer property, drive a little nicer car, a little more talented, make a little more money in reality. And then all of a sudden, especially if they're people who actually matter to you in your life, because then their opinion matters to you and you don't quite measure up, and then all of a sudden you start to struggle a little bit with your own personal identity. And I think that's what we're really talking about here today as we look at this whole issue of this approval addiction. And as Dan mentioned, I mean, I'm looking at your program and noticing that you are talking about some pretty intense issues on the sexual addiction last week with pornography and the food, and then next week with substance abuse. But this one right here, this whole issue here of this approval addiction is also very intense, though it's maybe something that doesn't seem as extreme as some of the other struggles that we have in our life. But the reality is, if we look at some of the statistics, they will show that almost everybody struggles in some form with this issue. But there are probably 40 to 60% of us who struggle to the point where it actually starts to mandate the way that you live your life and how you make decisions with everything that you're doing. And that's what we need to talk about today. People who know me personally, when they found out that I was coming in to speak and that this was the topic for the day, they thought that I was just going to give my personal testimony. So I was thinking, I don't know if God ordained the timing for me to come in on this weekend because this is when we were going to talk about this issue, or whether Dave Wilson, who knows me really well after working together for 13 years, if he finagled the messages to make me speak on this topic. Because basically, hi, I'm Dave Nelson, and I'm an approval addict. So, and if you guys know of that, one of the things that you'll understand is that on this side, and when we started Kensington, and you know, I was in my early 20s, it's really funny for me actually to look back at some of those days and how it really was a ruling factor in my life. And some of you are here today, and you know, you wake up every morning, and when you go to work and when you hang out with people, there's this thing that drives you inside that feels like you're not really making it and you're not that valuable unless the people that you're hanging around you think you are. Now, some of you as well, we got to meet some people this week. Yeah, I mean, you're way over here, and it's not an issue for you at all. You're like Steve Andrews. I don't think this guy deals with this issue at all. And some of you are just going through, and this isn't your deal. But what I want to share with you today, you guys, is that I'm not sharing this with you as an expert on this issue at all. That would be over on that end. But I am sharing this message with you today as somebody who's not there anymore. And I can't tell you how glad I am that that's true. And I am not anywhere where I need to be. It's still an issue for me, and I'm still working through it. But man, if this is an issue for you, I want to tell you right now, Jesus Christ really is alive. This Easter thing isn't just some theory that we like to talk about. Jesus Christ is alive. The Holy Spirit can come into your life. And like Jesus said himself, if you hold to my teachings, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And out of anything else, what I'm hoping today is that if this is your issue, that you'll walk out of here today with hope. Because I want to tell you something, and this is the truth. There is no way that you can ever fully experience the life that God intended for you to have when he created you if you are addicted to this issue of needing the approval of man. There's no way. And I know that Jesus said, I came so that you could have life to the full. This is the God who said, I want you to be absolutely free. And so if we're stuck with this addiction, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get out of this thing. And maybe today, obviously we're not going to cure anything today, but maybe today you can walk out with hope that you can be set free from this as well. Now, there's a guy in this church, his name's Jack Wilson. He's been attending here for quite a while. Jack has his PhD in counseling and psychology. He's been helping people with this issue for 30 years. And I met with Jack many, many times before I moved out to Salt Lake, and he's just has some great insight. So we went ahead and videotaped a short interview with him to kind of give a professional viewpoint on this issue of approval addiction. So before I jump into the actual message, let's watch this together.
People pleasing in an area that we talk about in this craving series is really kind of interesting when you look at it from the perspective that all of us are designed to be in relationship. And what happens in a people-pleasing situation is an individual who loses the perspective of how to have a balanced and healthy relationship because they become so concerned that they're going to be rejected. that if they say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, show up in the wrong place, have on the wrong clothes, that they will no longer be a member of the culture or the society that they want to be. And they had this deep-seated fear of being isolated. Just think for a second about two of the more powerful things that you've heard about in terms of societal expectation. We laugh about hermits. It's because there aren't very many of them. Because we are designed to be in relationship. We need to be touched emotionally and physically, or we will not remain healthy. And if you have a fear that you're going to lose those relationships, even though for the people-pleasing individual, it's an irrational fear, but if you have that fear, then you'll do almost anything to be accepted, to be a member, to join in. And you believe that that's the only way you can have worth is if the people around you give you that worth. So you become an individual who's doing constantly for others, or that you're very, very concerned about your appearance or your word choice, and you become what we refer to as a person doing rather than a person being. So what we want to do through this series and in this particular section is make sure that you understand that becoming a people pleaser can become one of the process addictions. And you can work so hard that you're constantly on edge, you're constantly alert to what's going on around you, and you're not able to see the beauty of who you are and what your potential is because you can only see it through the eyes of other people. Now, there'll be other characteristics that you'll see because people tend to think of the people pleaser as the sweet, loving, kind person, you know, who's constantly running errands for other people or who can't stand conflict. Well, about half the people who are people pleasers are like that. But the other half of the people who are people pleasers have anger management problems because they lash out, because they want to control the circumstances and situations around them, because they crave acceptance. So they're going to express their control in an anger and a controlling kind of a way. So what we want to do here is to give you some information that you can use that can either stop it, if this is an issue that you have now, or you'll be able to see some of these tendencies in yourself so that you can be in balanced and harmonious relationships while at the same time having your own personal worth and personal identity.
Cool. I know for me, in my journey with it, I think that so much of it was I didn't even really realize what some of the issues were. Don't understand. Like, there's a lot of behaviors that you'll have in your life, and you don't even know for sure why you're doing those. You just know it's not right. It's not good. I'm hoping that some of that will come out here today. But so I'd like to pray though before we start, and give you even a chance. If you know you wake up in the morning every day and you struggle with this, that you might just, man, would you just pray with me and open your heart today, and just see if God might reveal something to you. And actually meet you today. So let's pray together. Father, first of all, I just want to thank you for the reality of your love and that you're looking at every person sitting here right now. Every person. They matter to you. They're your idea. You thought of them. You created them. They're absolutely precious to you. We know that that's true. So, Lord, I'm just asking that you might come this morning. And for every heart that's dealing with this issue, and you know how it's affecting them, I just pray that you might come, and would you do what only you can do and open the eyes of our hearts, give us understanding, and then give us hope. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and do a work inside of us so that we might be the free people that you came to make us to be. So thank you that you're here. And we just ask for your insight, your wisdom, and for your revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a lot of what we're going to go through today actually comes from a book. There's another guy here, Lee Gardner's his name. He's a counselor as well. And I was working with Lee before I moved out to Salt Lake. And he said, Dave, you really got to read this thing. So when I moved out to Salt Lake, I actually picked it up. It's called Search for Significance. And the author's name is Robert McGee. And I want to encourage you, man, write the name of this book down. If you write it for a friend if you need to do that. So everybody who doesn't write this down feels like, hey, well, they must have this issue. They're writing the name of the book down. But Search for Significance by Robert McGee. And what was interesting with this book is it actually took me almost a year to work through this thing. because I knew I couldn't just read it. I actually had to digest this thing and work through the scriptures on here and make it a real part of my life. If you want, after the service, you can go to the bookstore and they'll take your name if you want to order one so that it can be here to pick up, or obviously you can just go online and pick this thing up. But again, if you have an issue at all with this approval, I can't encourage you enough to pick up this book. And what we're going to do is kind of just look at three patterns that produce this cycle of addiction in this area. And the first one is called the performance trap. And it's the pattern of our mind. And there's a pattern that develops inside of us in just the way that we think. And it kind of starts here. And so in this book, Robert McGee mentions that really there's an equation that works. And this equation is that our self-worth equals our performance plus people's opinions. So just take a look at that. Our self-worth equals my performance plus people's opinions. If you had a chance just to sit about 30 seconds and think about that, for most of us in this world, that's exactly true. And I want to tell you right now, that equation is a pattern of this world. That is not God's equation. But that is the pattern of this world. And what we talk about, when it becomes the pattern of our mind, we actually begin to believe that I'm only valuable if I perform well, and after I'm done with the performance, if you think I performed well, then I'm valuable. And if you have any question whether this is true or not, and or maybe why is this such an issue for all of us, I think it's because as soon as you're born into this world, you are born into a world that operates out of that pattern. See, and this is why it's so critical for those of us who are like me, who have young children right now. One of the most important things that we can do is make sure that our kids know they are the beloved. That there is no threat of loss of relationship. There is no threat of the loss of my love towards you, no matter what you do. Yes, there's discipline, there's training, all of that other stuff that we need to do as a parent. But I'm telling you, our kids need to know that they're beloved. Because if they grow up and the first thing they know is, I can't get mommy's love unless I do these things. Daddy won't play with me unless I do these things. Right from the bat, they know, wow, my performance plus their opinion, it makes me valuable. And you guys know why this is so critical, right? Why these little kids need to know this, because as soon as they go to school, that is the pattern. Is it not? Come on, all of you guys who are in music, right? You remember there's a first chair and there's a last chair, isn't there? And if you're in the clarinet section, that's like 16 people. And if you're 16, do you ever get the solo? You know, do you ever get the accolades? Come on, those of us who are in athletics, right? I mean, there's the starters, and there's the guy at the end of the bench. But hey, the guy on the end of the bench is just as important as the first guy. No, he's not. That's why he's sitting on the bench. Come on, and you know this thing. The beautiful girl's the one who gets voted prom queen and goes out on the dates. And then you get out of school, and it actually gets worse in the workplace. Because now you've got this ladder that you need to climb, right? And your position determines how valuable you are. You just want to take a look. Just look at the different paychecks, if you wonder. And I'm telling you, the pattern of this world says, you perform, I'll tell you how well you did. That's how valuable you are. And you wonder why we struggle with this? And so there it is, you guys. This mindset, this pattern of the mind develops. I've got to do well. And people got to like what I do. And if I do, then I'm valuable. And that leads to the second thing, which is the approval addiction. And that is the pattern of our actions. Because if you think that way, then you're going to act out that way. And what we're saying to ourselves here is, I must now constantly receive affirmation from others to continually feel good about myself. And I think some of the key words for those of us who struggle with this are the words constantly and continually. And so you wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to go to work, and you know right now, if you walk in there and somebody critiques you or criticizes what you do, how does that make you feel? How are you going to feel, right? How are you going to feel when you get shunned tomorrow, when you walk by, you know, and people don't even acknowledge your presence, or you find out, wow, there was a company party and I didn't get invited? You know, all those type of things. All of a sudden, what's going to happen emotionally to you? You are not going to feel good inside, because you need people to like you, to approve of you, to esteem you, to actually start to feel good about yourself. So what you do is you start to act out. And I'm going to tell you, this is where, right here from personal experience, what happens is this addiction, here's where it starts to control you. because it will dictate how you make your decisions. What's at the center of your life, you guys? See, because what's at the center of your life, when it finally comes down to make a decision, what's right there is what will drive you to make your decision. And if at the center of the core is, I need you to like me, there will be times when you know you should probably do this, but you know it'll hurt somebody or they might not like you anymore, and you'll end up compromising your decisions. You know what? Can I just say, you know what this really is? It's worship. What do you really worship? Because what you worship is what drives your obedience. It's what drives your decisions. And for some of us, man, we do. We bow down to the people around us. And we don't end up being the person that we're supposed to be. When we started Kensington, man, that was me. Man, I can't believe. I feared rejection so much that it would rule so much of my decisions. And now there's many different ways that we deal with this. Because sometimes we'll look at certain people and go, man, what's your problem? And other people look at us and go, what's your problem? And because sometimes it's possessions and we need to own lots of stuff. Sometimes it's our performance. Sometimes it's how you look. Some of you, man, you cannot walk out that door unless you've got it all picked up. Because if you walked out the door how you really look, you would not get approved. So you dress yourself up. We've all got our stuff. You know what mine is? Mine is, I have to be nice to everybody. Because I need you to like me. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't know why this is the case. My whole life, my thought pattern in my life, and I don't know how I got this, but the pattern in my life is that nobody likes me. I meet somebody, I run into them, have a conversation, I walk away, and I can't help. I just think, I don't go, no, how did that go? No, my immediate reaction is they don't like me. Now, how are you ever going to live the full life and the free life if that's your mindset, if that's your pattern? So you know what I did is I'm going to make sure that you like me. So, man, I was first string, you know? I started because if I perform well in athletics, then you get liked. I was first chair in the band because if you perform well, then people like you and you get the accolades. But you know what my biggest issue was? I was nice to everybody. Because if I'm nice to you, then you'll like me. And then my heart won't get hurt. So, probably back in 1993, I'm living up in Lake Orion, on staff at Kensington, living with a buddy, Jim Novak. I'm sitting down, I'm reading the Bible, have my time with God, and I start to pray, and I have to journal because I can't keep my focus if I don't. And I'm praying to God. And you know, there's just been a few moments in my life where God has spoken absolutely directly, clearly to me. And if you're a follower of Christ at all, you know those rare moments. I've never heard him audibly, but he will speak to your heart and he will bring thoughts to your mind. I'm praying to God, and out of the clear blue, I hear him speak directly to my heart. And he says, Dave, no more Mr. Nice Guy. And then he follows it up with, I don't want you to be nice to people anymore. You're like, now is that you, God? I'm a pastor. But what I heard next was, I don't want you to be nice to people anymore. Instead, I want you to start loving them. When he asked me, when the thought hit me about not being nice to people anymore, this is what I did. It was like God was standing right there in the door, and there was this huge, in the doorway, and there was a huge door, and I went, bam, and just slammed it right in his face. I'm telling you, in that moment, I said, no way to God. Because this is the pattern. This is how I protect myself. This is how I get along with everybody. And this is how I know I'm valuable. And if you take that away from me, I am going to get obliterated. I'm telling you guys, that was a critical moment in my life. Because from that day forward, God began a very painful journey in my life to set me free from being nice to people. But side note, you guys know there is a difference, right? Between being nice and being kind. Did you know kindness is a fruit of the Spirit? It's very important that we're kind. But see, if I'm kind, that means I'm actually caring about you. You know what I'm doing if I'm actually being nice to you? I'm actually nice to you, so why? So you'll be nice to me. See, the actual motivation, I think, in being nice is actually selfishly motivated. Where kindness is something that you offer to somebody with no thought of return. And that's what God was saying. Not that I don't want you to love people. No, he's saying I want you to start loving them, because so far, Dave, for 20-whatever years, you've been loving yourself. And it looks like you're caring about other people, but you're not. Huge. Now, let me just share with you guys. In this whole idea of having a pattern of action, there are two different routes that you can take, and Jack kind of touched on this in his video. One route that you can take if you're an approval addict is you will become a perfectionist. You will be someone who is absolutely driven to succeed. You will be someone who gets angry. Like he mentioned, you'll be angry if you can't achieve that, because if you don't achieve that, then you're going to realize you're a failure and people aren't going to approve of you. And so next thing you know, you start to manipulate other people around the office, and it leads to a sense of pride. It's kind of a funny example, but the one that hits me is I remember being a sophomore in high school on JV basketball team, and I had the best season that I'd ever had playing basketball. And you guys know around here that when the tournament time comes, the varsity coach will choose a couple people from the varsity JV team and bring them up on varsity. Well, man, I just knew that I was going to do it because I had a great year. And we sit in that locker room, and our coach comes in, Coach Butterfield, and he walks in. He says, hey, all right, Coach Gillespie's ready to bring the guys up to varsity for the tournament, and it's going to be Mark Howard and Mike Rogitsky. I can't kid me. I just sat there, and the coach actually grabbed me afterwards and said, man, I'm so sorry. He just needed a point guard. And I was so mad. So you know what I did? I said, man, I'm going to prove him wrong. Any of you guys ever done that? I'll prove you, baby. So we had one more game. Last game of the season's against Durand. And man, I went ballistic in that game. And it was the best game of the year for me personally. And every time after I'd make a shot, I'd run down the court, and the head coach was sitting right there. I'd run down the court and go, in your face, Skipper! And I just keep going. I mean, it was just like, I think about it, I'm going, this is so embarrassing. But I didn't care, right? Because you just told me I'm not valuable, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Can you guys relate? Some of you in here, okay, can I just say this? And I think I can, because I'm hopping on a plane in a few hours. Some of you in here, in your workplace, you are a complete jerk. You are. And you know it, and so do your coworkers. So does your spouse. Because there's such a need to prove yourself that you will run over people to be able to do it. You'll manipulate people's relationships. You'll threaten people. And it's all, and it looks like you're this guy. But the real issue is, inside your heart, you don't know that you're valuable just for who you are. That's one road. The opposite pattern of action is completely the opposite. And you know what you do if you struggle with this issue? Instead of going for it and being a perfectionist, you actually withdraw. Because the thought of actually taking a risk of doing anything and then failing just scares you so much that people would not approve of you that you don't do it anymore. You have this fear of failure, and it kind of can lead to a passive aggressiveness. So instead of being aggressive like this, what you do is you draw back from people in the hopes that that will cause them to draw towards you. You're just seeking for somebody to come towards you and to help you. And all of a sudden, you guys, you haven't taken a risk in so long. And you know, man, you're sitting there right now, and you know you are not living the life that you could live. And you know what happens? Man, you want to talk about depression? Sit in your living room knowing that you are not able to move and to take the risk, that you're not becoming the person you think you could be. But as soon as you think about taking that step, fear rises up within you and it clamps you down and you're paralyzed because you think everybody will reject you if you try. Come on, that's the life that God has for you? No! I'm telling you, the enemy is stealing your life. Some of you are losing your life, yes, through substance abuse. Some of you are messing up through your sexual stuff. Some of you are hurting your bodies through eating disorders. But some of you, and most of us, in some manner or form, our soul is being completely destroyed. Because instead of at the center of our life, having it be what God says about us, we are letting what people think about us drive us. And I am the king of that. And I hate it. But I'm not there. I'm here, which still bugs me, but I'm moving to there. because of God. All right, you got this pattern of action. Really quickly, that leads to this third pattern. It's the pattern of consequence, which is a blame and shame game. That this is what happens when things don't go my way, is you start to blame others. Right? Because it's really hard to lay in bed at night thinking, wow, I'm just a failure. And so what you do is you start thinking, well, no, it's my mom and dad's fault. It's my boss's fault. They're the ones who are wrong. And next thing you know, everybody's weaknesses around you, they so threaten you that you start to blame them for what they're doing. You guys, let's all admit it, right? We're all a bunch of screw-ups. You are surrounded by people who live the pattern of this world. And just in case you didn't know, you live the pattern of this world too. We all do. So we can't go blaming everybody else. So you know what we do? Is then we blame ourselves. And then we start to feel this incredible shame inside. And man, once you feel shame because you know you're not being the person you want to be, what a great cycle this is, right? So you got this pattern in your mind. I'm only valuable if people approve of what I do. So you step out and you try to approve everybody's thing, and then it doesn't work. And so then you feel shame because you're not that great. And all that does is feed your first thought that you're not valuable. So then you try harder, and it doesn't work, and you feel more shame, and it just keeps going and going and going. And either you get more angry, more intense, more stress, or you withdraw more and you get weaker to the point where you feel like you can't ever take another step of faith. All right. So how do we get out of this thing? Well, let me share it with this way. This has been one of the best things that's helped me personally through this thing, is somehow we got to break this cycle. And in this book, one of the things that's helped me the most is this. Is that every action that you take, everything you're going to do today, okay, every move that we take as human beings is actually triggered by a motivation, okay? There's something that motivates you to act that way. And usually within that motivation is an emotion. You feel certain things that drive you to do that. But every emotion that you feel is actually triggered by something that you think. You have a thought, it makes you feel a certain way, it makes you act. But here's the key. Every thought that you have, and this is the hard part, every thought that you have is actually triggered by what you believe. What you believe. And that's why faith is so important, because faith is what you believe. Let me illustrate this for you with what we've talked about here today. So over on this side, I hate conflict. Anybody else hate conflict? All right, some of you are weird. You like it. You guys are strange. For the rest of us normal people who are screwed up, a situation arises where there's potential conflict. My action is what? Withdraw. Not going there. Why is that my action? Because as soon as that situation arises, I feel what? Come on, what is it? Fear. Man, I feel this fear rise up within me, so I don't engage in the conflict, right? Now, why do I feel the fear? Because I think that if I engage that conflict, you're going to be angry at me and the relationship's going to break. And all of a sudden, my relationship's going to be estranged. That's what I think. It causes a fear, so I push away. Does that make sense so far? But you know what the real problem is? You know what I believe? I believe that if you reject me and that if you look down on me, I'm not valuable. And because of that belief right there, I start to not live the life that I'm supposed to live. Now, can I ask you, how many of you are in leadership of some sort? Any type? Teach, lead, if you're a parent, any of that kind of stuff, okay? I'm telling you, I'm supposed to lead. Come on, you know what leadership is. Leadership is conflict. That's what it is. You can't lead effectively and get along with everybody. That will never happen. You want to be Mr. Nice Guy and lead? And you know what's amazing to me? Is in 1993, I'm sitting at my table having quiet time with Jesus, and Jesus knows that 10 years later, he's going to ask me to lead a group of people across the country to start a church in Salt Lake City. And I think he's looking at me and going, dude, this is never going to happen. Yeah, I mean, this will be a colossal failure. So we need to do some work here. Because I created you, David. When I thought of you, I had this amazing idea that I created you and gifted you to lead a church and to plant something in Salt Lake City. Did you guys know that when he thought of you, he has a plan similar? I don't know if it's not to plant a church probably in Salt Lake. But did you know that there's a purpose and a plan for your life? And he also knows that if you're going to worship people's approval instead of himself, you will never experience the fullness of what he has for you. So I'm telling you, how different is it instead to be able to have a conflict arise and instead engage it and go, okay, truth and grace. Truth, I'm going to lay it all out, but I'm going to totally love you through the process. Now, why did I take that action? Because I felt courage to do it. Why did I feel that? Because I think that when God, who gave us, who came in the fullness of grace and truth, I think that if he'll lead me into that, actually good things will come. So that gives me courage, so I engage. Why do I think that? Because I believe. I believe that God is full of grace and truth, and I believe that he has it for me. For me. So you guys, what you believe changes everything. And you know what we've been doing? We've been trying to get better at conflict management. we go to seminars and we learn different tools and stuff and all that kind of stuff on how to do it. I'm telling you, until you get your heart and your mind to the point where it changes your motivation, that's what's going to change the way that we live our lives. And whether people accept us or reject us. Now here's the bigger issue. How can I accept you rejecting me? How can I accept you saying, man, that message stunk. Hope he never comes back. How can I accept that? I can only accept that if I know that God actually feels a greater way about me than you do. There's a great verse that we've got to look at. It's Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 2. How do we change our mind? It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You guys, what's the pattern of this world? That your worth is based on your performance plus people's opinions. God is telling you today, don't conform to that any longer. Hey, I haven't said this in any of the other services. Can I just give you another side note? That means as a follower of Christ today, don't you dare base somebody's value on their performance. Man, I'm telling you right now, the church could do a huge, huge blessing to each other if we'd actually just start loving each other instead of withholding our stuff and making them reach a standard. Anyway, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the scripture knows if we're going to have any hope of changing our behavior, then we've got to change this pattern that got developed into our mind. Because then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Can I share with you the weirdest thing to me? This is so, it's just funny to me. You know what I actually struggle with more than anything else? Is to believe that God loves me. I'm a pastor. I know he loves me, right? Did you guys know there's a difference between knowing and believing? You can know lots of stuff and not actually believe it. But you're supposed to know this, right? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I don't feel it any day, but I'm supposed to believe it anyway, right? I mean, that's what my whole life has been like. Well, the Bible says it, so I'm supposed to believe it, but I don't believe it in my heart. And I'm telling you right now, until you can start to believe that God loves you, then you're going to need the love of the people around you because you were created to be loved. So one of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 5. It helps me so much. Verses, it's not on the screen, so just follow me here. It simply says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Wow, you guys are good. It's up there. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, let me show you really quickly three things that can help you know God is crazy about you. The first one is that when we were still powerless. Powerless. See, human beings, we don't like people who are powerless. Try this one. Go to work tomorrow and do nothing. See how that goes over. Guys, this afternoon, go home and lay on the couch all day. Come on, honey. Love me. You know, it just, this powerless thing doesn't work, because when you can do nothing for another human being, that other human being is going to go, forget you, man. I got to tell the, I can't deal with this. You know what God says? You guys are powerless. You can do nothing. And that's why I love you. The second one that's intriguing, third line, is when you're ungodly. What's that mean? Well, that means you're not like me. Come on, you know what human nature is like, right? You know the pattern of this world? Hey, if you're like me, and if you like the same things I do, and if we get along, then we'll hang out. And if you're not, whew, okay. You guys all, we've all experienced it. You're in the other circle. That's the human pattern. You know what God's pattern is? You're nothing like me. Trust me. You are ungodly. And that's when I love you. And then the third one for me, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? You want to talk about human love? It's everything we've been talking about, right? Here's the standard right here. And if you do those things, then I'll give you my love, right? If you perform, then I'll bless you. You know what God says? You guys have never met my standard. Ever. You've never even come close. Let me demonstrate my love for you. I'm going to die for you when you could care less about me. If you ever wonder if you're valuable, you need to know to the one who created you and to the only one that you're going to stand before after your days are done is the one who says when you were powerless and ungodly and a sinner, you still mattered so much to me that I would die for you. So it'd be like going to work tomorrow and having your CEO pull you into the office and saying, man, you're amazing. I'm so glad you're on this team. I love your work. I love your effort. I love everything about you. When you walk in the office, I'm just so glad you're here. You have a great day. You walk out the door, your coworkers go, I hate you, man. You're no good. Your stuff stinks. Well, so what? I don't care what you think. The CEO thinks I'm the man. I mean, really, would you care what your coworkers thought if the one who actually controlled the organization thought you were the best? Did you know the one who controls the universe thinks you're the best? Doesn't matter what your mom or dad ever told you. Doesn't matter what your employer's saying to you. Doesn't matter if you failed a million times. Doesn't matter if you even did your best and it was never good enough. You have a Father in heaven who wants to look you in the eye today and say, you rock. And that's what we need to do. And I'm telling you, this is hard. This has not been easy for me. It's been very painful because you have to face your fear to ever get out on the other side. Now, just real quick before we go today, what's it take to find this freedom, you guys? I'm just going to bust these down. You may want to write them down. First thing it takes is this, is honesty. One of the greatest things being around Steve Andrews is being around a guy who can just lay himself out because he just knows who he is in Christ. And for me, finally, to be able to say, you know what? Yes, I am Dave Nelson. I'm a total approval addict, and I don't care. If I'm ever going to get the healing, I've got to get it out, just like with all your other addictions. And I want to tell you right now, if you struggle with this issue, whether it's by being a perfectionistic jerk or whether by being a withdrawn weakling, whatever your issue is, just be honest and get it out so the healing can start, okay? Second thing is you need to find some affirming relationships. And these are hard to find. But these are the people who, if they even see the deepest, darkest stuff within you, they're still going to love you and they're going to affirm you. God, I wish there were more people around like that. And hopefully God can make this a place where people will be like that. The third thing is what I've been talking about, and that's right thinking. We just need to renew our mind. The fourth one, you guys, is the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's so interesting. When I went to seminary, the first thing I had to do was take like 5 different personality tests. So I do all these tests. I hand in the information. The guy comes back. I've never really even met him before. We sit in his office, and he says, hey, just for me, it's kind of fun. He goes, I'd like to just tell you who you are based on your tests before we even talk. So he's saying all this stuff, and then he finally gets up to me, and he looks at me, and he says, man, but Dave, you seem to really struggle with some insecurity and some fear, you know, rejection and stuff. And then he kind of tilted his head, and he goes, but what's interesting to me is that it doesn't seem to stop you. And I sat there on the other side, and I just was chuckling inside, and I go, that's my life. And you know why? Because I think it's because the Holy Spirit lives in me. They always say, right, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once you have an addiction, you always have an addiction. I don't know if I'll ever be done with my approval addiction. But you know why I can keep going? You know why it doesn't stop me anyway? It certainly isn't because of me. I think it's because of the Holy Spirit. I invited Jesus Christ into my life, and he's empowering me to live the life that he called me to live. If you get Christ into your life, he can empower you to get past the stuff that would ever keep you from being who he created you to be. And then the last one is simply time. You're not going to walk out of here and be any different today. You're not going to read this book and be any different. It's been a long, arduous journey for me to get to this place, and I know it's going to be longer and harder for me to get to there. But with time, and with the Holy Spirit, and with people who love you, and with a renewed mind, and with honesty, I think God can change your life. So as this band comes up to do our final song, you guys, it's a song we've been doing at K2 lately. It's called Center. And it simply is saying, what's going to be at the center of your life? Is it going to be your spouse or your boss or your parents? Who's going to make the focus of the decision for you? Is it going to be people's approval or is it going to be Jesus? And one of the things you got to do is you got to fix your eyes on him and focus on him, the creator of the world, and say, what you think about me matters most. And you need to meditate on that. Make Jesus the one that you live for, not the people who are stuck in the pattern of this world, if you ever want to truly be who God created you to be. And what we're going to do is we are going to take our offering during this time. And so if you're visiting, you guys, the offering at Kensington is not about giving money to Kensington. It's about offering to God. And I know for me in this moment, that would be, man, you have been so good to me. I'm so grateful that you love me the way that you do. And just one way I can express that is to give myself back to you. So if you want to do that, great. And otherwise, please just listen really closely to these words. And maybe you can make this just a kind of a prayer time in your own heart about what you're going to focus on as you walk out these doors today.